What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 53 of the Lukewarm Games Podcast, your weekly source for unique perspectives on all things video games and pop culture. As always, I'm your host, Luke Lewis, this week joined by the King Shark Stan of Animal Crossing, Claire Helmberger.
How's it going, Luke?
It's going good.
Awesome.
So, I gave you the moniker of the King Shark Stan because we are coming right off of watching James Gunn's Suicide Squad. We literally just finished it moments ago. We are jumping straight into the podcast. We've got the news. We don't have questions with Claire. We just have, what do we think of Suicide Squad? We watched it. We've been waiting for it. I feel like I've been waiting for years for this movie. Like, you've heard the castings slowly coming out. You've heard James Gunn finish the script. Like, news has just been in abundance. And I think it's also because of COVID and 2020, right. We didn't have a lot of movie news, so like the fact that this movie was like finished with production and they were doing editing, and like any news about this movie was like the story of the day for movie fans. And so I feel like we've been thinking about this movie a lot. So
I would also add that to an extent, I feel like, at least for me, I've been waiting for this movie since they announced the first Suicide Squad movie.
That's fair. And I mean, we saw that when we first started dating.
Yeah, that was
back in 2016. And what a not great film that we really wanted to enjoy at the time. And what a awesome time to talk about Suicide Squad 2021.
Right, yeah.
So, Claire, without delaying anything, let's just get your top level thoughts. Okay. What did you think of the movie?
I thought this movie was awesome, and I think it is a shining example of what DC can do with the movies that they do want to be darker in tone. Like, I think we've seen some solid DC movies that, the ones that kind of play in the, like, lightheartedness. Mm-hmm. Like, we both really enjoyed Shazam, and the first two-thirds of the first Wonder Woman movie, where they really played into, like, Diana exploring the human world and stuff. Like, those were, I think, like, really, really good examples of DC when they aren't trying to lean into the edgelord darkness, angsty stuff. And then this is a great example of, if they are going to go dark, this is how you do it.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I would even take it one step further of, I think Suicide Squad is easily the best DCEU movie, like, without question. And it's hard for me to compare it to Wonder Woman or Shazam or even Man of Steel, which we enjoyed, but I just think this is such a higher level of, like, writing quality, of production value, of just, like, thought put into the movie, and it's just oozing with style, and it's clear that James Gunn, like, cares about the property and, like, represented it in a really fun and engaging way. I didn't say this at the top, but we'll keep everything pretty spoiler-free
for
the first, you know, chunk of this conversation, and we'll give a heads up if we're going to go into, like, full spoilers. But for now, I kind of just want to talk, like, top-level thoughts of the movie and then get into, like, how it impacts the DCEU in comparison to what Marvel's doing and things like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I kind of expected to really enjoy it because all of the DC fans I follow on Twitter that had already seen the movie were gushing about how much they enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't typically enjoy comic book movies were gushing about how much they enjoyed it. And I was just like, oh, I'm in for a good time. So I kind of went in with, I would say, fairly high expectations, but also tempered expectations because I feel like DC has let us down a lot in the recent years with films. And they just haven't compared to things of Marvel. But I really feel like this could be a turning point for DC if they look at the success of this movie as something significant and really examine, okay, we got a quality director and writer, James Gunn, who cares about the property, who's done similar movies like this in terms of, like, a team-up superhero movie ensemble cast in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies that were awesome and incredibly successful, and then they brought him in to do this project. Like, I want to see them do that with every other DC property and just have that same care. But before we get into, like, the future of the DC expanded universe, let's just talk about this movie as a whole. I specifically just really loved the cast of characters they had. I thought the casting was incredible, and I just think everyone had really great chemistry and banter, and it was just really well done. It was, like, the perfect blend of, like, over-the-top violence, comedy and, like, heartfelt moments, too.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, I think that the ensemble was really great, and I think that Idris Elba did, like, a really great job.
Yeah, he was excellent.
As, like, playing kind of the leader of the group and the protagonist of the story, which I wasn't, I'm not saying I wasn't expecting it, because of course we had information going into the movie, but one would expect after all the success of, like, the fact that in the first Suicide Squad movie, Margot Robbie totally carried it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Birds of Prey was as awesome as it was, kind of almost expecting Harley Quinn to be front and center in that way of, like, she's the one we really care about the whole time.
Sure.
And I think that the fact that we ended up caring about all the characters and in sort of different ways, for sure.
Yeah.
And that he was able to sell it that, like, he is the protagonist in spite of being the new character, mm-hmm. I think that was really great.
Yeah, and I think on that every member of the cast was really great, specifically Idris Elba too. I think everyone got their moment to shine, and not, like, a cheesy way, because everyone had, like, their quote-unquote moment in the 2016 Suicide Squad, but to the point where it was like, I don't want to know about Diablo and Killer Croc. Like, these stories are so, like, surface level, whereas, like I said, without getting into spoilers, like, King Shark or Harley Quinn or, like, everyone gets their moment of, like, whoa, you're a badass with your superhero abilities, but then also like you're a person and you have interesting, like, characters and a character arc and emotion and substance. And, like, there's actually deeper shit going on than just, like, this is goofy as hell. Yeah. But, like, I just thought the writing was really good, and that's what kept me engaged the whole time.
And, like, the pacing of that was really great, too, I will say. They didn't, like, just jam it all into one moment where it's like, we're going to look at all of the characters' backstories one by one.
Right, like, before this is the origin half hour.
Like, how we saw, that was Suicide Squad, the original.
Sure.
And also in Justice League, they did that as well.
Yeah.
And in this movie, without getting into spoilers, they do kind of separate when the backstory comes into play for each of the characters.
It just makes sense within the pacing of the movie. Yeah. It's not like we're introducing the roster. It's like we're going to learn about these characters as they progress through this adventure, and it's going to make sense, and it's going to add to the journey. And, yeah, on top of that, too, I just was really blown away by a lot of the action and the cinematics. I think just, like, the fight choreography was really cool and stylish, and they, like, leaned into everyone's unique abilities in really fun ways. And, you know, to pitch somebody on this movie, it's as if Guardians of the Galaxy had a baby with Deadpool in the best way. And, like, it works. It's not just, like, taking things from those given franchises, but it's, like, it really gels well, and the movie is very James Gunn in his style, and, like, it's rad.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think I agree that you can see elements of both of those in this movie, but I think that it is kind of uniquely its own thing, and it does what it does really well. It's not just, like, a ripoff of one or the other, and I think we'll talk about it when we get into spoilers, but there is an aspect of like, something that kind of paralleled what happened in a Deadpool movie.
Sure.
That I just think was actually better executed in this film than it was in the Deadpool movie that it happened in. So, I think that I feel like this movie just, it knew what it was, and that cannot be said for most of the DC films.
For sure. I think from now is probably a good time to say, like, go watch this movie. We're going to get into some spoiler territory, and then towards the latter half of the show, I want to talk about what the impact of this is on DC in comparison to what Marvel's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, full spoiler warning, we're at about 9 minutes in. If you haven't watched the movie, and you want to, go watch it and then come back for the rest of this show, because I think there's a lot to unpack with this movie that they do.
Just keep in mind, it is rated R, so.
Definitely not child appropriate. And also just, like, sensory warning for, like, violence, blood, decapitation, like, if you, gross things, dismemberment, like,
if you get queasy or etc.,
maybe not your film,
just
but also
prepare
go
yourself.
In
yeah because
yeah,
I'm like that
it's gonna happen
yeah
anyway okay
Don't be
full spoilers
you know here we go
so many people die in the opening of this movie. Oh my god. Were you expecting, like, the quick turn of just, like, we start with the A-team, quote-unquote, and everybody dies, except for Harley Quinn and Rick Flagg. Like, everyone just is immediately wiped out.
I wasn't, like, expecting it or anything, but I definitely had a really bad feeling going into it.
I knew there were, like, stakes, and I knew James Gunn was gonna, play around with expectations and things, but I thought we'd get a little more time with the characters, but I think that makes it so brilliant in a sense.
Yeah.
Because it, like, sets up all these characters, and they're, like, A-list celebrities. Like, right. Pete Davidson's there.
I certainly didn't Flula, expect him. Flula,
the YouTube star that was in Pitch Perfect, was there. Like, there were some big names that just, like, immediately dead. And, like, that made it even cooler, because then it was like, wow, what's gonna happen in the next 2 hours of this movie? Like, what?
This is the moment that I was referencing earlier with, like, comparable to in Deadpool 2 when he assembles that team and then they all get obliterated. X-Force. Yeah, the X-Force. And I thought that it was, honestly, I thought it was better executed, no pun intended, in this film, because it, like, set the tone for the rest of the movie, but, like, it was just, like, right off the bat, and then the rest of the movie was, you know, I mean, I think what I really appreciated about it is that they were sent in as a diversion, and the way that they framed it in the movie, it's like, these are the characters you're supposed to care about.
Right.
Just kidding, they were totally expendable, and they were just sent there to die, and that kind of sets the tone for, like, you're supposed to feel, the movie really makes you feel a certain way about what the government is doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're not the good guys here.
I think, too, like, I think about how they used that plot device in Deadpool 2 as, like, a big goof. Like, it was like, oh, isn't it so funny how we just wrote these all these characters that are, like, throwaway characters? Whereas in this one, I felt like you were saying it was making, like, a poignant point. It was also hilarious and absurd, but, like, it advanced the plot significantly. And it also, immediately off the bat, less than 5 minutes, or give or take, very briefly into the movie, sets your expectations for literally anything is going to happen.
Right.
And get ready to be surprised. And I just thought that was such a cool way to, like, get your attention.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think it obviously set the tone and whatnot, like we've already said. But it made me care about the characters, I think, a little bit more. The characters that actually got developed throughout the film, because I wanted them to not die, but it was on the table the whole time. Like, the stakes were there. But then, like, when we get to that climactic scene at the end of the movie, the big battle and everything, you really, you don't want it to go that way because you care about these characters. And I think that's really important.
Well, and there's moments where, like, everyone could die later in the movie, but it's like, no, not King Shark, not Ratcatcher, not Polka Dot Man. Like,
and you really think they're going to.
Yeah. And I think this movie, unlike the 2016 Suicide Squad movie, does a really good job about redeeming all the characters.
Yeah.
And it makes you care about the villains. Like, these people are villains, but, like, the anti-hero. Like, the anti-hero is compelling in this movie, and I don't think it was compelling in the 2016
version. Yeah, for sure. And I think part of that goes back to what we were saying earlier on in the spoiler-free section about the way that they develop the characters, where it's not just, like, info dump at the start of the movie and now you're supposed to care about them, but it's, like, throughout the movie you learn more about who they are and what their life circumstances were. And
it's so cleverly paced.
Yeah. So, I mean, you find yourself rooting for the characters at the beginning just because, like, the way it's framed, they're the protagonist, you root for the protagonist. But then, by the end of the movie, the way they cleverly build in the character development, you actually care because you care about them. Like, especially for me, Ratcatcher 2, I just, like, cared about her character so much and really didn't want her to die.
Well, and
and,
like,
Lil Sebastian.
Yeah, like, all the side characters were just really interesting and cool.
Yeah.
And, like, even Bloodsport, like, immediately off the bat, like, we're introduced to the fact that he has a daughter. And, like, originally I was like, oh, he has a daughter, that's, like, his motivation, that's it. But, like, his daughter is, like, falling into crime, but the government's, like, manipulating him. There's just all these different layers to it that I thought were really interesting, and it is interesting how James Gunn frames, like, Amanda Waller as a villain, and she is manipulating this team of people, and the suicide part of Suicide Squad is, like,
it's, like, very real.
Yeah, and it's scary, and they establish those stakes early on, like, when they blow up Michael Rooker's face. And he's dead.
Right. Like, well, it's like, it's not, they're not the Suicide Squad because, it's funny, they don't care about anything. They're the Suicide Squad because they're sent in because they're expendable and the government doesn't care about their lives. It doesn't value them. And it'll do whatever it takes. And I think,
I think the movie did Amanda Waller's team is taking bets on in the morning, like, before the mission starts or whatever. Like, it's crazy.
And, like, all those unnamed characters on her team, like, this is another thing that I thought was brilliant about the movie. Because, like, I don't necessarily care about those characters, and they're, like, total side characters that didn't even have a name or their name was just, like, briefly mentioned. But, like, they all go on a journey together of, like, that you see from the beginning, oh, shit, are we the bad guys here? And then, like, stepping in at the end, like, having a redemption arc of their own as
it was so cool. Ensemble. It was so cool. And they didn't need to flesh out those people. Like, they didn't need to have, like, a Transformers level of backstory of these side characters, but you still got to go on that journey and see their little character arcs too, and that was cool.
And it was so simple, and they didn't you know, beat the dead horse, but it was just that guy being like, you wouldn't actually kill his daughter, right?
You'd be surprised what I do, or whatever.
Or like
Viola Davis and Amanda Waller,
or they're like, we want to save the city, I'll blow your heads off if you do that,
right?
That what ultimately ended up leading to them rebelling against her. They were just like, why can't we save the city? Because it would be better for our politics if there was destabilization in the area? Fuck no. And I appreciated that because that's a real thing that happens in the real world.
We also haven't talked a lot about that final fight, but it's so cool on such a grand scale. Like, we have all these little conflicts and a bunch of really well choreographed, like, fights, but then to see them go up against this giant creature was so awesome.
It was an interesting choice, and definitely a very, like, kind of Guardians of the Galaxy choice, almost, to have the villain be Starro the alien starfish monster.
But it was cool because of what really that cool character represented, right, too. Like, it wasn't just we're gonna fight the big bad now. It was like, we're gonna fight the big bad, but the big bad represents something the U.S. else. Government's corruption within this, like, fucked up world that they're fighting for.
And I really appreciated the way that they delved into that, because at the start of the movie, when it was like, oh, we're just gonna go and fuck around in this vaguely Latin American, not vaguely, I mean explicitly Latin American country that's just not a real, doesn't happen, happens to not be a real place, but, and we're just gonna go kill the new leader and, you know, destabilize the government and do all these
things. It was very boilerplate, but then progressively got more complicated.
It's uncomfortable at the beginning because you're like, is this kind of racist? Like, these are real conflicts that happen with the U.S. government that they've been doing, you know, throughout their history. And to have it end up, I thought it was really rewarding to have it end up where, you know, the U.S. government is in the wrong for what they did there. And it's explicitly portrayed that way. And it's not just because they're the villains and they don't want to get captured by the government, so the government's the bad guy. It's like, straight up, no, they've done some horrible things. And I appreciated that because a lot of action movies and superhero movies will not say bad things about the United States government.
That's what I loved about this experience, is I feel like this film works on so many levels. It's hilarious. The action is amazing. The writing and pacing are very well done. But there's also, like, a very poignant political commentary going on within this ridiculous R-rated action comedy.
Right. And the political commentary, yes, definitely. Also, just, like, the commentary on humanity,
sure,
of, like, I think was so
societal structures,
so poignant with the sorrow saying as he was dying through the human,
the way he, like, spoke was really interesting too.
But when he was like, I was happy just floating looking at the stars, like, if they had never captured him and done those experiments and tried to weaponize him or it, I guess, I don't think it, I mean, it talked with a deep voice, but I don't think it had an explicit gender.
Sure. Them.
If they'd never captured Starro, the creature would have just continued floating through space and not bothered anybody forever. And it wouldn't have, I mean, all that carnage didn't have to happen. It's because of humanity's inability to not poke it with a stick and turn things into a weapon and whatnot. Totally. And that was something that was, I mean, really powerful too, because we see that happening right now in the world and all the time. I don't know. I appreciated the depth of it. It wasn't just a bad guy doing bad things and we gotta go kill him.
Yeah, no, and I appreciated everyone's character arcs, like we were getting into a little bit. I'm curious, what character was your favorite character, and what character do you think had the most interesting plot arc? It could be the same character, but I'm curious if, you know what I mean,
You thought. I really liked Ratcatcher 2, like I said, and I think I said this earlier, but the thing that I really appreciated about this movie, the way it surprised me, is that Harley Quinn didn't, like, steal the show, carry the movie.
She was fantastic, love though, but
her, and like, everything, previous Suicide Squad, everything. Birds of Prey, she was awesome. And she is still awesome in this. Like, she's not less awesome.
Right.
But the other characters were just so awesome, too, that it wasn't all on her shoulders. And I really liked Ratcatcher's character of just like she grew up in unfortunate circumstances, and I don't know, her message, especially at the end, was really powerful. And
I also love Taika Waititi was her dad. Taika Waititi was her dad, which is really rad.
If a rat has purpose, then so do we all. Like, that's just beautiful.
It's poignant, and yeah. I appreciated it.
But I also appreciated Idris Elba's character's arc. Because it wasn't just one thing. Like, it was, yeah, he was trying to keep his daughter out of trouble and make her proud. But also his, like, competition with Peacemaker and, like, how they, quote-unquote, do the same thing, but they're not the same person. And they have very different motives and outlooks. But then also his thing with the rats, and he, like, he went on multiple arcs throughout it. They were
the thing of how he didn't want to become a leader, but then Amanda Waller made him a leader, even though he then ended up defying her in the end.
Right,
so she
that too,
accomplished what she set out to do in a way, which was kind of this, like, double-edged sword plot arc an interesting way.
It was a multifaceted arc, and I think in a lot of superhero movies, especially in the DC ones that we've seen so far, character arcs are just one-line trains, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so that was cool to see. What about you? Who was your favorite character?
I definitely liked Ratcatcher and Bloodsport. I think for me, I had one character that really surprised me and one character that I expected to really like going in that I really liked going in.
Uh-huh.
And the one I expected to like was King Shark. I just had a feeling. I love King Shark in other DC comics properties, especially the Harley Quinn cartoon on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very interesting character and just really intrigues me, and also the action and the way he looks live action in the movie, I think, is just really well done.
Yeah.
And the CG just looked really good. So I was very intrigued by King Shark. And then the one that surprised me was Polka Dot Man, because I didn't know visually how they were going to really represent that character in this live action movie, but they made his powers look incredibly cool. And I also thought it was like a very interesting psychological trip of how he envisions his mother.
That was cool.
Who, like, abused him as a child throughout the movie, but it was also, like, a comedic bit, so it, like, worked as a comedic bit, but also worked as, like, this, like, psychological, like, oh, fuck, he has this, like, twisted past element. So I thought that was really interesting.
Right.
I thought Harley Quinn was fantastic, and I thought Margot Robbie, she's just really honed that character, and I think the more she's played that character, she only gets better.
Yeah.
Like, I think this was the best version of her. I love her comedic timing of the lines where she's like, what do you mean? Who's Milton? And there's these bits where it's like, it was funny.
The irreverence, for sure.
I also appreciated how self-aware James Gunn's writing was, because there were multiple times where I was like, why is Milton the bus driver there? Like, and then they addressed that directly with
a quippy bit
that was really...
He was trying to help. Polka Dot Man was like, he was trying to help.
Like,
he was like, what
was
he gonna do?
That got me, because I was like, that's the kind of detail that I feel like no one really notices, but then I come out of the theater, I'm like, why was the bus driver there? Anybody know the bus? Like, I pick it apart.
Yeah, it wasn't a plot hole, it could have been, but it wasn't.
Well, and I don't even mean to say a plot hole, because I feel like a plot hole has a negative connotation, but I just mean like an unexplained thing that I can't justify. And I guess that is a plot hole by definition, but I don't necessarily have a problem with it, because at the end of the day, the bus driver was there. It's physically possible for him to be there. Why was he there? Doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I just appreciated that the movie, like, picked up on that and said that and had moments like that. So But yeah, I just thought also that all of the characters just played really well off of each other.
Yeah.
I expected to not like Peacemaker, to be honest, just because John Cena, I feel like when he's cast in these action movies, he always plays the, like, bro-y douchebag that yeah. you're not really supposed to like. And I didn't like Peacemaker, but I appreciated the performance.
Yeah.
And I do think his character is very interesting in that he's, like,
so too.
Striving yeah. to accomplish this mission, wants world peace, but he's, like, also willing to do any number of fucked up things to get there. So yeah. the fact that James Gunn is doing a television series based around Peacemaker and John Cena's character, I think could be really interesting because there is a lot of multifaceted yeah. dynamics to play. I'm curious about his specific backstory.
Yeah.
To how he, like, developed this mentality, like, what happened to him that made him think this way, that kind of stuff. I think that could be interesting. I don't necessarily yeah. need an origin story, but, like, I do think the journey could be really interesting.
Right. I think that character was really interesting because all the other villains, whose backstory we actually got to know, it was just like, this person was trapped by circumstance. They had an unfortunate upbringing that kind of drove them to be morally gray or sure. make some unfortunate life choices or whatever. And then there's this guy who wants the fighting to stop and it will kill anyone
right.
who doesn't align with his specific vision for the world. And that sort of, like, terrifying, authoritarian, I am right and everyone else who disagrees with me, I'll kill them kind of thing is, like, so scary in a different way of, like, there's a team entirely of villains, but he's the one where I'm like, I don't really like you and I'm not really rooting for you. And then at the end, when he's like, I'm going to destroy this drive, that was the primary directive, no one can ever know about this, unless, like, no, you're actually a really bad guy. And once again, super interesting, because he's a really bad guy, set apart from the rest of the villains on the team, but he's also the one who's working most closely with the government. I just thought it was kind of unexpected.
There was a lot of interesting parallels yeah. and ways they were manipulating, like, the expected parallels story-wise that you would come to think would happen. And I just thought it was interesting how far he was willing to go. Like, yeah. he was ready to kill Ratcatcher.
He did kill Captain Flag. Commander Flag, whatever his title was.
Or Rick Flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colonel Flag.
Yeah, Rick Colonel. Flag, I knew it was one of the yeah, ones. Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, that was very interesting. And then, like, the fact that Ratcatcher was like, why do you have to kill me? Can't you just destroy the thing? And he's like, loose, I'm thorough or whatever. Like, yeah. that shit was fucked up. And I was right. like, oh, damn, you're like...
You remind me of, oh, crap, what's his name? I mean, they actually look similar. Homelander. He reminds me of Homelander. Mm.
Yeah, he does have Homelander energy.
Homelander vibe. For sure. Yeah.
I feel like I don't necessarily know if he has as twisted of an end goal as Homelander.
No.
Like, I think in his mind, Peacemaker thinks he's making everything better, regardless of what he has to do to get there.
Whereas Homelander, like, just has this huge ego.
Yeah, like, I think Homelander's more self-ego-driven than... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I thought that whole thing was really interesting. And also, I want to give a quick shout-out to the actor yeah, yeah. who plays Polka Dot Man. I don't know his name, but he is in DCEU movie, MCU movies and shows, and also the Christopher Nolan Batman universe.
He's in which a lot is kind of like the trifecta. I'm looking up the cast because I want to remember his name too, but he's really good.
Yeah. I think the cast just worked really well together, and that was a huge thing that was lacking in the original Suicide Squad movie. So
I didn't specifically address this either, but I thought it was so fun how there was so many cast reveals. I remember so many, like, press release news bits in the years leading up to this movie revealing, oh, this actor is playing a character in the movie. Oh, James Gunn's brought on this character to play, or this actor to play in the movie. And just the fact that so many of them are out so early in the movie,
right.
I find hilarious. Like, Michael Rooker, who was such a prominent character as Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy, gone early on. Nathan Fillion, well-known actor, gone. And how lame was his power, but how funny was his power? The, like, TDK, how his arms, like, popped off, yeah. That, like a doll. That was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Pete Davidson, I'm just scrolling through the cast list, but where is the one we were asking about, though? Unfortunately, it's not organized in order of who appeared most in the film, which you think it would be.
By order of appearance, or is it alphabetical? I think alphabetical is the worst way to organize a cast list, because it's just so
David Dastmalchian?
Yes. So, he is...
yeah, you're right. He was in The Dark Knight. Oh, he's also in Dune. He's in the new Dune movie.
What was his character's name in Captain America Civil War and Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
No, it says on his IMDb that he was in Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. He played Kurt.
Oh, that's right. He's the one who goes, Baba Yaga!
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I think the haircut throws me off. They have very similar haircuts.
I understand. Anyway, it is cool that he's been in MCU stuff and that he's been in DC stuff.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But
for sure, because that doesn't happen very often. I think so on purpose.
I have two closing questions that will act as our questions with Claire segments that are themed around this discussion of Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, thinking of the future of the DCEU, I think this movie could represent a new era of really quality films, given the right director and the writer to the given project. So I'm posing a question of, what's a DC property that you would want to see reprised with an MCU director and writer?
Interesting.
So, and we don't have to get, like, specific with names, but, like, let's say, like, you have a comedic DC role, and then you want Taika Waititi, who did Thor Ragnarok, to be involved.
Right.
Like, something of that nature. So I have a couple in mind right off the bat.
Do you want to share yours first? Out.
Just to give you examples of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So there's the obvious ones of, I would love to see the Russo brothers take a stab at a Superman or a Batman or a Justice League. I think they know how to do origin stories. I think they know how to do ensemble films. And I think the level of character development that we saw from their Captain America movies, Winter Soldier and Civil War, I think could be really incredible to see in a Superman storyline. With that, I also think Taika Waititi would do an incredible Batman movie. I think it would be a little zanier of a Batman than the grounded Christopher Nolan trilogy or the Robert Pattinson stuff. I think it would be more akin to, like, it would be a really well-written, well-produced Tim Burton-esque one, but, like, it would be funny. Like, I could just see him writing, like, amazing lines for the Riddler or Kite Man or Calendar Man, these absurd Batman villains and characters. So, like, that's one that comes to mind. I also think the Green Arrow would be a really cool live action adaption that we've seen in other things. Smallville comes to mind of, like, a cool adaption. Obviously, Arrow, the CW show, specifically focused on the Green Arrow. But I think I was imagining Peyton Reed, who did the Ant-Man movies, would be kind of a cool one for that, because of the comedic relief that I feel like Green Arrow brings, especially thinking of, like, the Kevin Smith run of Green Arrow. Kind of fun, kind of zany. It would just be a cool one. So those are, like, the top three ones that come to mind. Obviously, there's a ton more that I can think of. Do you have one off the top of your head?
I actually just agree with at least the first two that you said, of having a zanier Batman instead of, like, the... Because we've seen a lot of dark Batman. And
I will say
Joker, we've seen a lot of
the Batman with Robert Pattinson looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the trailer looks really, really cool. And I think they're taking it in a different direction than Christopher Nolan did of, like, hyper grounded, super realistic. This looks like it's striking a balance, I would say, between the Tim Burton, like, zany and the super grounded. Like, it's bringing in those comic book elements, but also keeping it more focused on, like, the thriller dark aspect of it, which is really rad, and that definitely evokes the tone of Batman. But I would like to see something a little more cartoony, and maybe it's an animated thing, maybe it's not a live action thing, but either way, I think Taika Waititi would be sick to
For sure. I almost don't necessarily need any more Batman than what we already have at this point. I think it'd be more fun to see some other characters fleshed out. And then the whole thing of having the Russo brothers take a crack at Superman for sure would be cool. I think for me, it doesn't come down to a specific character or a specific director, but I just think the thing this movie, Suicide Squad, did well that I hope future movies continue to do is I feel like it just knew what it was. Mm-hmm. It knew what its tone was going to be, and it just stuck to it. And sure, there were moments of levity throughout the film. There were funny things that happened. Yeah. There was humor. But at the end of the day, it was a hyper-violent, R-rated, batshit crazy film that wasn't trying to be hyper-realistic, but was also grounded in some real-world commentary. And I think that the other DC films that I've enjoyed have also known what they are, and the ones that have fallen flat have not had a consistent tone or really known what the tone was. And I think that the ones that try to be extra edgy, I would say it doesn't work. Like, the ones that are good are the first two-thirds of Wonder Woman and Shazam I enjoyed, and Birds of Prey was really good. But they try to get, I think they try to just make it too dark without actually committing to the R rating and the hyperviolence. And it just ends up falling flat.
For me, I think as it stands, the DCEU ranking is somewhat like this. Like, S tier, Suicide Squad. A tier, Birds of Prey. I'd maybe throw in Man of Steel that I enjoyed quite a bit upon our rewatch. Then we got the B tier of the Shazams, the Wonder Woman. And then everything else for me kind of is in that C or lower tier. Yeah. That it just doesn't hit. And I totally agree that I think this movie works because James Gunn wrote a movie that would work for the Suicide Squad and made it engaging and made it interesting and used his style and knowledge of the property. And I just want someone to have a unified vision for DC, similar to that of Kevin Feige, who cares and is executing at the highest level and isn't just, like, greenlighting projects to greenlight projects, because it's just getting convoluted, and it would be so, so cool to have a unified vision for the DCEU like the MCU. As someone who grew up a DC Comics fan, I would cry if we got an Avengers Endgame-level, exciting Justice League DC moment that actually felt earned.
Right. But as it is right now, I care about these villain characters far more than the heroes that they're supposed
to be. But that's what I'm saying. I just want them to take note of this and be like, look at the time and care and thought that was put into this movie, and the fact that you allowed the creator, James Gunn, to do exactly what his vision was. Let's do that for every other DC property. The Batman, Robert Pattinson, looks dope. They're doing their own thing. Maybe that's what needs to happen, is they just make really great standalone films that maybe have a sequel or a trilogy of some sort, but aren't tied to this overarching thing that they all need to connect and play well together.
Yeah.
Because Suicide Squad's a great movie, and maybe that, and the Batman, I think, will also, it looks really good.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the way to go. I don't know. I would love to see interconnectedness, but I think there needs to be a lot of thought at the top level to make that work. And they don't seem to have that unified vision. They don't
think they have anyone doing that right
vision.
Now. They had Zack Snyder, whose, you know, choices were not kept and are not being followed. Well, I know
Geoff Johns, who is really well-regarded in the comic book world. He was brought on to oversee the DCEU, I believe, sometime last year. So I'm curious to see in 5 years what we think of the DCEU.
Yeah.
You know, after Suicide Squad, after the Batman, Black Adam is currently in production with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That could be cool. We haven't really seen anything of the movie except for concept art and the fact that Noah Centineo is in it, which is dope. But, you know what I mean? There's just not a lot to go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, my closing question was just basically going to stem around, do you think DC will ever reach a point where, I'm not going to say it's on the same level as Marvel, but do you think it will reach a point where we don't talk about it like the sad other comic book movie universe? Do you think we'll reach a point where it's like, it's cool, it's good, it's its own thing, and, or do you think we'll keep having this discussion where it's lackluster movies? Do you think Suicide Squad was a turning point, basically, is what I'm getting at?
I hope so. I think they just need to, they need to figure out what they are and what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish. And if they can't have that unified cinematic universe where everything is connected and they're all solid, at least solid films, with some really great films in there, then they just...
just make good they movies. They need
to make standalone good films and standalone trilogies. And maybe 10 years from now we're looking back and the MCU is still happening, phase, you know, 8 or whatever the heck. And then DC is just known for every once in a while you're going to get a new iteration of Superman or a new iteration of, you know, they're making a funny Aquaman cartoon or what have you. And they're not connected, but they're just committed to making them good. And I don't know which way they're going to go. Or they could go neither of those ways and just keep being moderate to sucky. And we'll see.
I just think I loved Suicide Squad so much to the point where I have a serious amount of hope for the first time. And I'm just excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I hope James Gunn gets to make another Suicide Squad and gets to direct other DC properties and keeps doing Marvel stuff.
Is he doing Guardians 3? I can't remember.
He is doing Guardians 3. He's also doing the cool holiday special that they're working on. He's doing Peacemaker. And they haven't announced anything, but I would have to imagine, based on the critical reception and commercial success of this movie, that they would greenlight a sequel to Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Well, with that, everybody, I hope you enjoyed Suicide Squad as much as we did. Claire, thank you so much for rapidly recording this podcast immediately after watching the movie. It was kind of fun.
It was fun. It was all nice and fresh. That was cool.
Yeah, totally. I liked it. So we'll probably do a little bit more of this, maybe with our movie reviews. I think specifically with the movie reviews, it's fun to do it immediately after so you get our hot takes.
Off the cuff.
You know, it's nothing scripted. We're just talking honestly about our experience, which is cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Right on, right on. Well, listeners, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Some quick housekeeping items. Please subscribe to our show on your podcast platform of choice. We are now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. If you enjoy our podcast, consider supporting us at patreon.com/lukewarmgames for exclusive podcasts and more. Follow at lukewarmgames on Twitter to get the latest updates on our show. And tune in next week for our official review of 12 Minutes, which is releasing on Game Pass.
Later this week.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I am so excited. So get ready for that one. With that, have a fantastic week. Cheers and happy gaming.